Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Hopefully everybody out there is having a very pleasant Lug evening. It is a big Lugowski, a 5-hour after hours, 48 hours or so, if my math adds up there. Yes, 48 hours or so after the Knicks have won a championship. They are the champions of the world. They are on the mountaintop. The parade is on a Thursday, 10 a.m. down the Canyon of Heroes. You definitely want to keep it locked here on WFAN to continue to hear all of the emotion pouring in for this run, for this team, for this city, for this franchise. And it's going to continue on. The party is not going to stop all week long into the weekend as we as New Yorkers, we as Knicks fans celebrate the first Knicks championship in 53 years. As soon as I have any information about what I'm doing at the parade, where I'll be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I will pass that on to you, the audience, because I know a lot of you out there that are going to the parade, you want to meet Positive Tommy. One of the bros tried to dap me up when I was walking to work today. He was driving his car. He was at a red light, pulled down the window. Yo, Lugie, you're my guy. You know, the whole thing. I mean, of course I am. Everybody wants a piece of Positive Tommy, and you'll get that piece on Thursday as best I can. I mean, it's going to be a very busy day. I'm sure I'll be pulled in a million different directions, but as much as I can give back to all the great after-hours fans out there, I will do so. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. You've heard a lot from me. Now let's hear from you. Let's go to John in Oceanside here on The Fan. What's up, John?
Lugie! Tommy, baby! The champs, baby! I can't believe it! I can't believe it! Tommy, I got to tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. Last night was amazing, but not because only the win, but I'm a big Knicks fan, and my son is a big Knicks fan, and we're sitting down in on my man cave, and my son is screaming at the television, help him out, help him out. And I told him, calm down. We're going to win this. We're going to win this. And sure enough, like Rocky, this is the best you can punch, and Jalen goes straight, right through, and gets a layup. Amazing, amazing win. And my son fell to the ground, hysterical crying. What an amazing, amazing game.
Yeah, John, and you summed it up there, and this is what I've been talking about now for days on end, and that experience that you had with your son is something that he will cherish for the rest of his life. It's something you'll cherish for the rest of your life. It's something that he will look to do with his kids one day. It's something that you want to do with your family and share that moment together. Sports is about family. It's about watching the game with your dad, with your grandfather, with your sister, with your mother, with your aunts and uncles. It brings the family together around the television, rooting for the basketball team you love, the football team you love, the hockey team you love, the baseball team you love. And you go through a lot of heartbreak, and you go through a lot of disgust and anger and frustration as a fan. But for these moments that you get that it should be cherished, where your team is the last team standing and they win a championship and they have a parade and they have the best player in the sport, which I believe Jalen Brunson is. He's the best player in the league. He's the face of the NBA. Whether the league or the gatekeepers in the national media want to admit that or not, the reality is Jalen Brunson is the best player in the sport. And Jalen Brunson certainly has had his detractors. And I'll put my hand up, and it's obviously been well documented. It's on a T-shirt. It's something that I'm sure will be brought up again this week by the coalition of Knick haters led by the Weez 11 Roberts. And that is what I tweeted out when Jalen Brunson signed here. And I stand by that statement at the time. I was obviously dead wrong about the signing. I was obviously dead wrong about Jalen Brunson. And I've never been happier in my life to be wrong, because Jalen Brunson has proven not just me, but countless members of the media, and I'm sure a lot of fans, because they were probably fans that just didn't say anything, or they don't have a platform like I do, where whatever they said went into the ether, and it'll never be brought up again. And now they're, now they'll act like I never said anything bad about Jalen Brunson. I knew. I mean, Jay Wright was on with Beningo on Sunday, and Jay Wright, his college coach, they won championships at Villanova. He knows Jalen better than anybody outside of Rick Brunson and outside of Jalen's parents. And Jay Wright admitted, hey, I thought Jalen would be a good point guard. I thought he'd be a two, never a one. This is his college coach admitting this. Not years ago, he admitted this on Sunday. So if his college coach can have that take, I can certainly have that take. I don't feel any regret for having it at the time because I believe it was accurate at the time. That Jalen Brunson at that moment wasn't great. I didn't project him to be great or be a superstar or the savior of this franchise. Well, guess what? He is that. And I quickly realized I was wrong. And I quickly realized that I'm going to be the first one on this radio station to call him a superstar, which is accurate. And if Evan wants to do some digging, it was a show that I did with him. The two of us were doing the show, and I was fighting with a caller, and I called Jalen Brunson a superstar. I remember this vividly. And the caller said, there you go, you're throwing that word superstar around. I don't remember the exact date. It was a week where there was a bunch of fill-ins sitting next to Evan. I did a show with him, Marash did a show with him, McMonagle did a show with him. It actually was when Dudes, Dogs, and Damage was born. It was actually born on that show. And I was fighting with a call about Brunson, I called him a superstar. No one else on the radio station before that called him that. And look, I put the cart before the horse a lot, so I'm not suggesting, oh, I saw this coming. But I'm just saying that, okay, I had a bad take in the beginning, but I quickly realized that take was inaccurate, and I realized where Jalen Brunson was headed as a player, and it already arrived. And I voted for him to be King of New York. I've always sung his praises ever since. And now I'm sitting here saying he's the best player in the sport. And he's Michael Jordan in the fourth quarter. He's Derek Jeter. He's all those things. And I bring that up for a couple reasons. Number one, the programming directors around here and all the bosses will love this stuff because this is called I'm promoting a different show. So the synergy of the radio station. Evan and Tiki tomorrow will, and Evan's been working on this tirelessly when he's not recording Rico's or driving his kids around. Evan is a hard worker and he went through all the tapes. And because here's the deal. My tweet about Brunson, it's been twisting in the wind for years. It's the only take that has been discussed because Evan looked to see if any other host tweeted about Jalen Brunson and nobody did. So yeah, mine was a negative opinion, but it was the only opinion we could find. But it goes to show you that Jalen Brunson didn't move the needle. He didn't move the needle. Nobody decided to go on their phone or go on their computer and tweet about him because he didn't move the needle. It moved the needle with me, but it didn't move the needle with anybody else. So for years, all we've had, and obviously I worked on Evan and Tiki, so they want to make my life miserable, so they continue to bring it up, and that's part of the show, all good. But coming up tomorrow, Evan Roberts will unveil everybody's take on Jalen Brunson when he first signed here. So he has Craig's take, he has Tiki's take, he has McGlagel's take on it, he's got Boomer and Geo's take. So everybody, he's got everybody that hosts here now that was hosting here at the time. He's got all their takes on when Jalen Brunson first signed. So I got news for you. There are people joining me in the boat that I've been sitting in by myself for years. I guarantee that. I haven't heard any of them, and Evan hasn't told me who was negative, who was... I can't imagine anybody was overly positive. And remember, this was BPT before Positive Tommy.
My Woody of Tommy Lugauer.
Yeah, well, we're like action figures. Marash is his Buzz Lightyear, and I'm his Woody. Reach for the sky. We're like action figures to him. I'm his Nick action figure. Sean is his giant action figure. And when it comes to the Mets, Evan loves positive Tommy. He also hates positive Tommy. And then he loves to hate positive Tommy.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Like on a night like tonight with the Mets, he probably hates positive Tommy. Because he's going to say this freaking little guy. Can't wait to hear it. Now, I'll probably be sleeping, but I'll go back on the Odyssey app, another plug, and go to the rewind function. And if Sean's actually doing his job correctly, it will be labeled that section accurately. Hopefully he does his job. So I can't wait to hear that. And I bring all this up, long way to go to get there. I apologize, but I think it's going to have a great conclusion. And that is, and Mikal Bridges brought it up today on a... I don't want to accuse Mikal Bridges of doing anything, but let's put it this way. Mikal Bridges was having a great time on Instagram Live, certainly celebrating a championship, and he was in the highest of spirits. He was in a great mood. He was in just an awesome vibe, and he was feeling it. And he had discussed Jalen Brunson and Becky Hammon's comments, which are very public, about disparaging Jalen Brunson as far as being a shorter player in the league and not being a number one and all that stuff. And he flat out said, look, Jalen uses that as motivation. Jalen was on First Take today. Obviously, Stephen A. Smith has had his things to say about Jalen, and everybody on the TV has. So I'm not just trying to just single out Stephen A., but Stephen A. was sitting there with Jalen. And Stephen A. was like, look, I apologize. I'm paraphrasing the conversation. I apologize. This will be the last time I knock the Knicks or whatever. And Jalen goes, yeah, we'll see. So Jalen, I think, internalizes all that. He is Michael Jordan and Kobe when it comes to that sort of thing. All the great ones are like this, where he wants people, I think, to say things negatively about him. I think that's why Jalen Brunson doesn't take compliments well. I don't think he wants them, because especially in the media. Even if it's somebody like me who's a fan, but also I'm in the media, so I have to give my strong opinions on something, and it's not always going to be overwhelmingly positive, especially BPT before positive Tommy. I think Jalen Brunson uses it as motivation. He uses it as motivation to be what he is, and that is the best player in the league, the most clutch player in the league, and the face of the NBA. So what I would suggest to everybody out there, for all you young, aspiring broadcasters, for everybody in the national media, continue to knock this guy. Continue to doubt him and this team, because it's only going to add fuel to the fire, and we will see that Knicks dynasty. We will see more championships. John is in Oxford, Connecticut here on After Hours. What's up, John?
Tommy.
What's up?
Thanks for taking the call.
Of course. Couldn't take it if you didn't make it.
Well, you know, I think you really encapsulated everything I wanted to talk about, because I felt it was so important for Brunson to get the MVP of that championship. He earned it in the greatest of ways, in what an all-time performance. But you know, going in, people were like, "Oh, who's going to get the MVP? Who's going to get the MVP?" And we all know who the MVP of this team is. We know this. But what I didn't want to have happen for this guy was some sort of stupid Steph Curry thing where it's like, oh, well, he's not really the best player on his team when it matters the most.
You're saying Durant when he was winning the MVPs in the finals?
Exactly, exactly. And I mean, I feel like he put the Brunson stamp on it. I mean, that's an all-time.
Yeah, the game five performance, 45 points when the team scores 94 is just absolutely absurd.
Absolutely. And people have made a big deal about the last 8 years. I think whatever it is, there has been no repeat champions. Who has finalized or finished out like this guy has? Of all these guys, I think this list starts with LeBron back in COVID and goes ever since. And you got great players, but nobody finished like Brunson.
No.
Nobody did.
No. Not in this era, that's for sure.
And you did say you felt like he was the best player in the game. Now, there's recency bias, but that's a legitimate statement. I mean, this guy is disrespected. That's why I felt like it was so important that he get that MVP, because there would have been critics out there that would have loved to have jumped on the fact that if OG had gotten the MVP the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, What a great way to end, because there's no question. This is the Brunson Knicks with great players along with him, but what I mean, the narrative couldn't be any better.
Yeah, it's great play. Yeah, listen, the key here is that Brunson was the guy who turned everything around, and this team, by Leon Rose, the architect, they built them around Jalen Brunson. He is the centerpiece. He is the superstar, and that is the most important part of this. And, John, those that criticize Jalen Brunson, because I had the take of, hey, I don't think he's necessarily going to be a great player, a superstar. The take of you're not going to win when a guy that size or that short, you're not going to win a championship when that is the best player on the team. Well, that's been proven wrong in the past already. I mean, Isaiah Thomas was the best player on the Bad Boy Pistons. They went back-to-back championships. Steph Curry, I don't care what anybody says, was the best player on those teams. Or certainly he won before Kevin Durant got there. If you want to tell me Kevin Durant's better, we can have that conversation. But Curry won before KD ever got there. So we've seen smaller guards lead their team to championships. Now, you have to build around them, of course, like anything else. LeBron James wasn't winning championships until he had Wade and Bosh and a lot of great veterans around him. Michael Jordan didn't win until Scottie Pippen got around them. You could be as great as Kobe, Shaq, you know, you can go on and on and on. Garnett needed Pierce and Allen. You're not going to win by yourself. And Jalen Brunson is no different. He needs OG, he needs Cat, he needs Hart, he needs Bridges, he needs this team to have the depth they have, Mike Brown being the missing piece. In many ways, I think Mike Brown is the Joe Torre of the modern era, which would make Tibbs the Buck Showalter, which is unfortunate for Tibbs. And we're not going to spend a ton of time on Tibbs throughout the week, but I will mention him throughout in terms of his importance to this program that he turned around. They went from LOL Knicks to a team that consistently won year in and year out. And the hiring of Tibbs was the right hire at the time. And Tibbs got this team to where they needed to be to ultimately where someone else would take over and win a championship with them, which I think Tibbs deserves the highest of praises for. And he has his ways that can be a little bit stuck in those ways and a little bit stubborn. And I think ultimately that led to his undoing. This franchise, top to bottom, I've said this repeatedly, I think to a man, if anybody was going to step in and say, hey, Tibbs should be here, I think if that had happened, Tibbs in all likelihood would be here. So I do think it was a collective decision by this group. And by the way, it was the correct decision. It was a decision that Leon Rose was criticized for. It was a decision that James Dolan was criticized for. Everybody came out of the woodworks and said, Dolan is meddling. This is James Dolan being the overlord again. And the Knicks have a beautiful thing going and they've now ruined it. And we're going to get to Dolan here in a little bit. We're going to play the audio of the speech that has now been put out there that he gave to the players before this run. And I have not heard it on purpose. I want to hear it with you, the audience, and then I will give my take on it as soon as I hear it. But nobody has gone from the most, I don't know, word you want to use, despised person in this town, basically, as far as, I mean, James Dolan, much maligned, and is now, the hero's too strong of a word, but he is now becoming, I think, beloved. You know, with that speech he gave after the game, this is going to do him a lot of favors when people hear this audio, which it's all over social media, and we will play for you in the audience coming up. When he came on multiple times with the Carton Show, I thought he came off great with Craig. And obviously, they're comfortable. They have a relationship. They're friends. So it's easier to be comfortable in those spots, and you get a better interview out of somebody. But still, and the team is great. So all those things factor in. But I felt like James came off, if I can call him James, Mr. Dolan came off amazing. Amazing. And he really just went through it all those years and was ridiculed. And look, I get it. The Knicks were a joke and a laughingstock and a mess. I understand that. And I understand the frustrations that I had and everyone else had, of course. But to think that we got here, the only other, because now the Wilpons are gone, the only other comparison that I could give is that, think of this. If I were to say to you, in 6 or 7 years, we're going to be sitting here on WFAN And we're going to be talking about Woody Johnson. We're going to be talking about Woody Johnson as the best owner in New York sports. We're going to be talking about Woody Johnson hiring the right guy, and that right guy drafted the right quarterback, and the Jets won a Super Bowl. And Woody Johnson had this great speech after the team won a Super Bowl. And then this tape comes out of Woody Johnson giving this great speech to his team before the Super Bowl run. You're hearing that right now and going, yeah, right. They'll never win with this. All the things that were said about James Dolan and the Knicks would be said about Woody Johnson and the Jets. And I'm telling you, don't make that mistake. Don't make the mistake. Don't say it. Don't say it. Because you know what? It's inaccurate. It's not true. If Woody Johnson hires the right guy, and maybe he already has, and that right guy finds the right quarterback, and they build around that quarterback, the Jets will win a Super Bowl. Or they'll certainly put themselves in a position to do so. And we could be talking about the Jets in 6 or 7 years like we are talking about the Knicks right now. Absolutely. I feel extremely confident in that, meaning they still have to do it, but they can, even with Woody as the owner. So Woody Johnson is now the worst owner in this town, the worst owner in sports. A position that Dolan held for many, 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 many years. And now James Dolan is, I'm not sure we're totally there yet, but it's going to get there, especially if this team continues to win. And he continues to just have this just redemption tour of great PR and great positivity. And I thought he came off very likable with Craig. It just, I listened to it. He had me laughing a bunch of times. Very good stuff. It helps that the team is winning. I understand that. But he's also come off very well in his public appearances this year. But everybody was saying, Dolan meddled. He meddled. He's meddling. That's why they got rid of Tibbs. And okay. I don't think that was the case. I think Dolan trusts Leon Rose, and he should. How could you not? And I think he trusted his players, and that goes for all of them, that, and this is me speculating, that wanted to move on to a new coach. That's what the Knicks did, and Mike Brown wasn't their first choice, but he was the correct choice. Mike Brown was the perfect choice.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South, but for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
For this team. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I've been yapping a lot. I apologize. We'll get to it. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be up here talking. So no apology. But if you're waiting on hold, apologies. We'll get to you. I promise. We have you for a few more hours. We got a lot of runway here. 3.5 more hours on a Big Lou Gowski. I got you till midnight here on The Fan as we celebrate a Knicks championship. All your reaction, we'll let you hear that audio from James Dolan coming right up here on After Hours. The phone number to join the conversation, if you haven't joined it already, is 888-808-1019. It is Loogie here, Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy in Primetime, After Hours, here on The Fan. 8:39 here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. The winner there, the only thing, Richard just has it. Richard's doing his own show here. Loogie! Hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant Loogie evening. As we get closer and closer to the parade. Now, I'm not going to address this fully, but I'm being told offline, because I've cut it on the air. I'm not going to allow it to seep into the excitement that we all have for the parade. But I'm being told offline that potentially there could be some weather on Thursday. And what I would say to that is, how about you look at a radar before you plan the parade on a Thursday? But I guess we don't. And that would be number one. Number two, if there is weather, I would move the parade to a different date. The last thing you want is this being, you don't want it to be an Alanis Morissette song. That's what I would say. You don't want it to be a raining on your wedding day. You certainly don't want it to rain on the parade, and you don't want high winds or anything like that. Now, it's a couple days out. Again, offline, nothing official. But
Rosie is the glue.
If there's any type of imperial entanglements here, I would suggest moving the parade. And the fact that my people are telling me offline, it's a Star Wars reference, Rosenberg.
Imperial entanglement?
It's a Star Wars reference.
No, it's not. That's not even a phrase. What does that mean?
Obi-Wan Kenobi says that to Han Solo at the bar when they are recruiting him to get in the Millennium Falcon to go on their mission.
Is that the guy in the machine?
The what?
The machine.
What machine?
Is that Obi-Wan Kenobi?
What machine? You're talking about Darth Vader?
No, that's the guy with the black, right?
Yeah, he's in a
costume. No, the machine, the guy who...
Are you talking about R2-D2?
Is that the guy with the...
Human cyborg relation,
C-3PO? The guy who looks like Alpha from Power Rangers?
What the hell are you talking about?
The little robot guy.
R2-D2.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, R2-D2 and obviously C-3PO, human cyborg relations. No, neither one of them said that. Obi-Wan Kenobi said that to Han Solo.
Imperial entanglement.
We don't want any imperial entanglements, which means that he didn't want the dark side of the Force or the Empire to get involved in their little quest. We don't want to have a situation where rain interrupts this great day of celebrating. So the fact that you're telling me this off the air a couple days out, I would hope that the people that are running this parade are also seeing that radar. Now, weather is unpredictable, but if we get close and it's not looking good, then they need to change the date of the parade. You can't have 5 million people outside and it's horrible weather. That's just, and a parade, it's not good. It's not good. This is the work of the coalition, and the coalition must be stopped. The coalition of Nick haters. This would be their Super Bowl if it was raining during the Nick parade. That would be amazing to them, because they can't get much here, but if they can get a little piece out of us, and that is that it's raining, they will be excited about that.
It ruins the ticker tape, by the way. The wind, the rain.
Ruins everything.
It really does. This is not a trolling. It ruins everything rains.
Well, here's the deal. Don't do it on that day. That's the bottom line. So I'm not even going to get upset about somebody saying the weather's going to be bad that day, potentially, because to me, just move it. Move it to the next day. Move it to next week. What's the difference? But pick a nice day for it. Let this be a special day on a great weather day. Or as good as you possibly can. It doesn't have to be 78 degrees and full sunshine, but if it's cloudy and 80, that's fine. But no rain or winds. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Moose is in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
Loogie.
Yo, what's up?
On this Loogie thing, good Loogie.
Yes, hopefully you're having a very pleasant Loogie evening, Moose.
And 5-hour Lugowski, Lugzania, for all those who know.
Yes.
But I digress.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, I'd like to, from a Nets fan perspective, remember, I grew up a Knicks fan in the 90s. My beef with the Knicks was the 2002 draft with the whole Dan Dickow, Zach Randolph, and I was thinking, are we rebuilding, drafting future? And I was just so frustrated with the constant trying to re-emulate the 90s Knicks. So I left the team, became a fan of players and stuff until I picked the Nets in 2014, because I was watching the second round with them and the Heat, and my boy was like, why are you rooting for the Heat if you were once a Knicks fan? I'm like, you're right, I have to root for a New York team, so I'm just going to pick the Nets, right? Spur of the moment, peer pressure. But to talk about the Knicks and give them props, if anybody in the world, the universe, Star Wars reference, whatever, says this team got lucky, does not know ball. They beat the hottest team in the NBA in the first round. Beat the 76ers. Granted, they were down, didn't have the talent.
Yeah, but you know what? They swept them, they dominated them, and they would have done the same to the Celtics. They would have done the same to the Pistons, and they certainly would have done the same to the Thunder. Maybe not in five, but they would have beaten the Thunder.
Loogie, my point is this. Every single time in every game, moment, from run to run, it looked like the Knicks were out of it. They fight. They stretch. They claw. They literally drag their bodies on the ground. You couldn't count the number of deflections and diving on the ground, ripping the ball from the ball handler before they had time to call jump ball. The aggressiveness, the doggedness, that they do damage because these dudes weren't playing around. I haven't seen this level of just pure tenacity from an NBA championship. I've been watching every single finals since the 90s. I haven't seen that. So anybody who says this team got lucky, from a neutral fan perspective, not part of the coalition of indicators because I was once a fan rooting for them in the 90s. I have my story. But anyway, point is this. Anybody who says this team got lucky does not know ball. Thanks for taking my call.
No, you got it, Moose. And look, there's always going to be doubters. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be detractors. Even when you win a championship, they want to put an asterisk attached to it. That's just sour grapes. That's all it is. Let's go to Antonio in Boston. What's up, Antonio?
What's going on, Tommy? Have a happy Luke evening.
Yeah, same to you, Antonio. Appreciate the call, bro.
Hey, I got to say, like, I'm 18, and I'm, you know, Yankees, Giants, Knicks, and Ranger fan. And seeing the Knicks win, like, being the first pro team that I enjoy seeing win,
mm-hmm.
Game 4 was when I had all the emotion. It was my cousins, the guy was so excited. And then Game 5, they won. And, like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, they won the whole thing, but, like, all my energy was in Game 4, and then in Game 5, when they won, I was like, it's hard to grasp, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Antonio, because when the Giants won, they beat the undefeated Patriots, the Tyree play, I was in college, and it was the first championship that I ever saw as a sports fan, and I was the same way. I didn't truly know. When that ball stuck to Tyree's helmet, I literally, like, time stood still. I had an out-of-body experience, and I didn't know exactly how to react. It was almost like a delay in my reaction because I went, holy bleep, I think the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm finally going to get a championship. How do you even celebrate a championship? Because it's something that I didn't get in my formative years, and now here I am in my early 20s, and I'm about to experience my first championship like you did on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was just so, like, I hope, you know, maybe in 6 months, a year, when I go back and look, I'll be like, okay, now I understand what it really means to win a championship. But, like, right now I'm in this, like, I've been listening to WFAN since Saturday, yesterday, this morning, trying to soak it all in and to really just get that excitement and be like, dude, your team just won a championship, you know?
Yeah, and it's all, and like you said, you're trying to get all the content in, and we appreciate you keeping it locked here since Saturday, so you probably heard me every time I've been on so far, so hopefully I'm not repeating myself, but yeah, it's and I appreciate the call, bro, enjoy it, and hopefully you can make it down to the parade from Boston on Thursday. But yeah, I remember my first championship, you always remember your first time, I remember my first time, it was a glorious experience, and then, see, the interesting thing with me is I didn't necessarily care which team I rooted for won the first championship I ever got. But once the Giants won, they then won the second championship of my life. And it's like, okay, guys, you guys already won. I love that you won another, but can the other teams sort of pick up the tab next time? And obviously that didn't occur until Saturday when the Knicks finally won a championship. And now we wait on the Mets, we wait on the Islanders. So hopefully the other orange and blue teams in town can get to the mountaintop. And I believe they will. I do. And I look forward to both of those moments. And I look forward to the Met fans and the Islander fans getting the moment that the Knicks fans, myself included, are feeling right now. Let's go to Chaz in Setauket here on After Hours. Positive Tommy and Prime Time. What's up, Chaz?
Boogie! Our Knicks are 2026 world champs!
Get used to hearing it. Yep. Get used to hearing it.
I love it. I've been listening to you, you know, since you've been on.
Thank you.
And listened to the fans since we won, like the previous caller. And I just got to say, I'm so impressed with Brunson. You know, I've been watching Knicks for a long time. And since we got him, you know, the growth that he's shown, so impressed with him. You know, listen, Wemby, I hope he's a dirty player, as we all know now. I hope he never wins a championship. Unfortunately, I think he will. But I hope he's not a good guy. He's not a good guy. We all know it. So I hope he gets what he deserves. And that is not a championship, for sure.
Well, and I appreciate the call, Chaz, and thank you for listening all these years. I feel like Wemby came off so poorly in this series. He came off immature. He came off at times like a dirty player. He came off like a coddled player. And I think the coddling has led to a lot of that immaturity. Whatever he said at the end of his press conference, it's nice that he actually showed up for this one and he didn't skip the podium like he did in the Western Conference after Game 5. He said something to the hey, see you never, which is something a high school kid would say, a teenager would say. And I understand that Wemby is not exactly 40 years old. He's still a young kid, but he is a grown adult. He is the so-called face of the league, or at least that's what people wanted him to be. And I thought Wemby came off so poorly in this series. Not talking about his play, although in the clutch, he came off like he's not a clutch player and maybe doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to be that type of player.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
But he also just came off immature. He came off like a baby. He came off like a whiner. He came off like a bleep talker, but then can't back it up and get his team across the finish line. And look, he wasn't alone. I mean, De'Aaron Fox was awful. If I were the Spurs, I would get rid of him. That's how bad he was. And that decision in game four to try to get that layup after the missed shot by the Knicks, and OG blocked the shot from De'Aaron Fox when the Knicks had to foul in that situation, although not in that spot because you can get a block. But if De'Aaron would have pulled the ball out and just dribbled, he would have gotten fouled. You figure he makes a couple free throws and the Knicks have a different sort of mountain to climb there. But De'Aaron Fox had an ultimate brain fart, which he shouldn't have. He's a veteran in the league. He's a 27 for that team. He's a veteran, 27 years old compared to the other guys. That's old. But Wemby just, it was not a good look for him. And he has been knocked down a few pegs, I think, in the eyes of NBA pundits, in the eyes of the fans. And he's going to have to do a lot to sort of change his image. I mean, he came off like Joel Embiid, which is not a boat you want to be in with him. You don't want to be in the same category, in the same conversation with Joel Embiid when it comes to that sort of stuff and the shenanigans. But that's where Wemby finds himself. And instead of on the mountaintop, instead of winning a finals MVP, he comes off like a sore loser, as a baby, a guy that won't shake hands afterwards, no class, a villain, so to speak, especially here in New York. He is now number one on that list. Even though the Knicks won the championship, you know how we roll around here. Doesn't matter. We still need to have our villain. And obviously, Trae Young held that title for a while. Halliburton had that title for a while. Now, Wemby has it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, Luke?
Hey.
Good show.
Thank you.
You know, three things about Brunson. You remember these three things. It's really good when people say about how good he is. And I would say as good as anybody ever, just about right now. Number one is he's got four consecutive 40-point games in the playoffs with five or more assists. You know how many other people did that in history?
Tell me.
None.
Wow.
Him only. That's number one. So remember this for Evan. Second thing is, well, you know about this. The 45-point game is like third of all time, right? And he did that this year, right?
Yeah.
And here's the one that really gets me. Listen to this one. It'll take me 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, in the finals, number of points in the fourth quarter of all time. Number one, Shaquille O'Neal did 12.5. He averaged in one final series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second, Brunson, 11.9. Third, Curry, 11.5. So Curry, who's one of the greatest scorers of all time, and he's been in six finals, did not even match what Brunson did in one final.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that just tells you how great Brunson is right now, how locked in he is, and how clutch he is.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the right now. If your life, I don't want to say your life depended on it, but
sports,
if you had to pick one person, Luke, 10 seconds to go, you got to get a bucket. Who do you want to have the ball?
Oh, Jalen Brunson.
Nobody in the NBA.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson.
Jokic. Nobody else.
Yeah, thanks SGA. Yeah, you got it, Mario. Appreciate it, man. Congratulations to you and all the other Knicks fans. My fellow Knicks fans out there, by the way. Yeah, I would take Brunson over anybody, but I would take Brunson over anybody in the league right now. I think he's the best player in the sport. I think he's the most clutch player in the sport. I think he's got the most heart. I think he's got the most tenacity. I think he's got the most drive. I think Jalen Brunson wants it more than anybody else in the league. I really, truly believe that. And you could see it with his play at the end of these games because he wills his team to victory. And that's exactly what he did in Game 5. You know, OG was in foul trouble, didn't have it. Cat was in foul trouble, didn't have it. And Cat was not great in the second half of that series. The bench gave you literally nothing in Game 5. So Jalen Brunson had to do what he has done quite often, and that is put the cape on, be the hero, be the lead scorer, the lead dog, and practically go out and score half the team's points in Game 5. Because that's essentially what he did. He scored 45 points, the team scored 94. In what is an all-time, not just New York sports, but all-time NBA performance in finals history in a closeout game. I mean, that was just absolutely ridiculous. But you could just see when he goes on those heaters, there's nobody else in the sport like him. And that's why I bring up multiple championships. That's why I bring up a dynasty, because you mentioned the players with Brunson there. Shaq won a lot of titles. Curry won a lot of titles. Look at the things the Knicks did this year as far as they won the first two games on the road in the finals. In fact, they won all three games on the road in the finals. The only other two teams to do that, the first two games on the road, a Jordan Bulls team, which obviously won multiple championships, Hakeem Olajuwon and the Rockets, which obviously won multiple championships. The Knicks won 13 in a row in the playoffs. They won 14 out of 15. If they had won 15 in a row, the Warriors were the only other team to ever do that. Obviously, that's a dynastic team. The team that has had the third most amount of wins in playoffs history in a row, Spurs in 99, obviously with different players, but it was not Duncan, obviously being the same dynastic group there. So I see this Knick team in 2026 doing things that teams have done in the past that had won multiple championships. So it starts to make me think that the Knicks are on that same trajectory, that they themselves will also win multiple championships. When you consider how unified they are, and I would do everything in my power to not break up this team. I would not do it. That's to a man. I know it's probably impossible, especially some role players. It's going to be very difficult to do that. And I'm sure there are a lot of players out there, especially vets, that want a piece of this, that want to get involved because they could smell a championship and they'll chase rings. But I would do my very best to keep this core and the extension of that core together as long as humanly possible, because I think they're building something very special at Madison Square Garden with this basketball team. And they came together in this run. They finally gelled, and they showed you just how great they can be. And I think they are head and shoulders, the Knicks are, the class of the Eastern Conference. I don't think anybody is even in the same league as them right now. And that's why I'm very confident in this team going forward. 888-808-1019, 808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie here in the late night. We'll continue to take your calls on a Big Lugowski, a five-hour After Hours. Coming up here in the next segment, we will play for you the James Dolan speech that he had for his players going into this run in the playoffs. That's coming up, plus your phone calls, more reaction to the Knicks winning a championship for the first time in 53 years. The phone number to join the conversation, once again, 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.